I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm super thrilled to have my next guest here. We have serial entrepreneur Julie Maclow, who is the founder and CEO of The Maclow, which is the first luxury American single malt whiskey, which is made here in the U.S. as well. She's a serial entrepreneur, as I mentioned, a dynamic one who has transcended boundaries in the business world, moving from, well, finance first into beauty and now into the spirits, luxury spirits business. Her journey is a testament to the resilience and creativity and determination that one needs to make big ideas happen. So I'm very excited to have Julie here. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thanks, Kara. Excited to join today and talk about our Maclow whiskey.
Right on.
Appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, super, super excited. So you are clearly a creator. And when did this creative side in you really start? Was there a time when you said, I'm just going to go create these things? You've obviously transcended lots of different industries, but when did you decide, I'm just going to go and do this? If no one else is doing it, Julie is signing up to go and create and scale.
So funny enough, I come really from a traditional finance background. I would say absolutely no creativity was actually in my education or my schooling, not one marking, maybe one required marking class, but almost zero. So, you know, when I came out of college, I was working in Goldman Sachs and then did M&A. Then I went to private equity with Chase Capital and JP Morgan Partners. And it was really while I was working in finance 24/7 that I discovered whiskey and my love for it, because I would work all the time and basically I would find that I'd spend my dinner allowance on whiskey or champagne, and one bottle led to the next. I'd hoard it in my little apartment. But the creative part of my life where I started really was with my skincare and cosmetics company after my finance career was over. I'd say I'd spent maybe 15 years investing in retail and consumer companies because that was my specialties. So I always got to meet the guy who started Crocs or Uggs or, you know, the CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch. I was always very fascinated by like companies and this idea of design. And I was super into the fashion world. I was a Vogue It girl in 2008, I think. So, you know, I always really liked fashion and design and the idea of things, but I actually didn't start to make things until I decided to start a skincare company, which was Vie Beauté in 2010, after almost a decade and a half in finance. So it was an evolution. And then after doing Vie Beauté for about 7 years and doing Home Shopping Network night and day, they were then acquired by QVC. I didn't really like it. They took away the snacks and the toilet paper. I'm like, what I really like is whiskey and golf. You know, I'm still a lousy golfer, but a scratch drinker. I'm like, well, I know how to do marketing and packaging. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to follow my dream. And what I really love is scotch, because I have like 2,000 bottles of whiskey ranging from, you know, 1939 present day. I realized I had Irish, Canadian, Japanese, Taiwanese, tons of scotches, but and nothing that was made in America that would be in my collection. I thought, oh, I'm going to go create that. So because of my cosmetics background, I had by then learned how to source packaging and do the marketing and do the labels and the trademarks and all those little details that go into a company that, frankly, I had to learn for the first time when I did my beauty business.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app, no matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on. Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now, too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code GOLDEN50 at factormeals.com/GOLDEN50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So you just mentioned V-Beauté, which was the beauty brand that you created, the luxury organic skincare, amazing, amazing product. What's one thing that you now know that maybe you didn't know when you started that company?
That is a great question. So one of my hardest learning lessons with V-Beauté was lack of distribution partner. And we spent, you know, I'd say 2 to 3 years scouring all of these, you know, boutiques, and we were 200 boutiques spread super across the U.S., Nordstrom's, you know, Fred Siegel, Bergdorf Goodman. And one day somebody came to me and was like, why aren't you just on Home Shopping Network? Like, you should be on Home Shopping Network. And the reality is on Home Shopping Network, in 10 minutes, I could sell 10,000 units. which way exceeded probably the prior 2 years of sales to that point, right? So when I got into the liquor business, I realized that having a key distribution partner was super critical. So we started with Empire New York City. For our first year, we really only had our super high-end acquired casks. But once we launched our flagship product, which is our $250 bottle, and more of our $40 Macklow shot, we realized we needed to have one distribution partner. So we started with Southern Glazers. After working with them for about a year, we decided we needed a national deal. And we ended up, you know, through discussions with them and RNDC, their competitor, ultimately choosing RNDC, where we just recently signed a national deal to roll out nationally with them. So I think that was the biggest learning curve for me is, you know, that your core customer is, yes, in key markets. And for us, that's New York, Aspen, LA, Texas, Miami, et cetera. But they're still great customers in all these other markets. And to really be able to get to them, you need a solid distribution partner on a national ability who can help you scale the brand. And I think that was like, when I look at what I would have done differently with my beauty company, it was not having a Sephora or an Ulta against an HSN. So mm-hmm. I'm on TV selling lots of marketing, lots of awareness, but then there was no place to walk into like one solid retailer and just have a partner where you could buy it. I'd say that was our biggest challenge.
Well, and the spirits business is even more key that you have a distribution partner, right? I mean, if for those who aren't familiar with...
Well, it's illegal otherwise, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
to your point, so spirits business is three-tier channel. I can't sell to Kara. I've got to sell to my distributor who then sells to you, which makes it legally necessary to have a distribution partner. You can self-distribute in a handful of states. I don't personally recommend doing that. But obviously having a distributor is very key. And then the second part of that, just getting back to the beauty business and the parallels, is you need a sales force. So in the beauty business, you know, we had a lot of freelancers, myself, a lot of people work for me. We're always at counter selling. Alcohol is not much different. Even with a distribution partner, you still need ambassadors and people in the restaurants, selling in the bottles, selling through the bottles, doing staff trainings. So it's in a weird way, super similar to skincare as it's just more fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how would you describe the Macklow to somebody? Actually, two different people. The first person is somebody who is a whiskey drinker and is very, you know, interested, knows that they're probably going to love it. But then the other person that maybe has never tried it. I know you've talked a lot about how you're bringing more women into enjoying this spirit as well. But how would you respond about, you know, your brand overall to maybe one or both of them? Maybe it's a different conversation.
So look, our goal is to be like the Hermes of whiskey and the top of the diamond. So, you know, my goal is to create the first luxury American-made product. For the novice, I'd say our goal is to have you experience whiskey and enjoy it and be able to drink it without thinking too much of it. The reason I designed packaging that looks like this is I want something fashioned after my favorite thing, which is a flask, because I never like to be without my own alcohol. And I liked the idea of like Tom Ford meets whiskey when I designed it. And I wanted, frankly, a design that appealed to both men and to women. And when I looked at all the bottles out there, it felt like dead white guys had really made every single one. So I want something that was more modern, right? Obviously, if you're an expert, like a lot of people are, I'd say it's a hybrid between a bourbon meets a scotch. We make it just like they make bourbon, distillation in a column and then into a pot. But because it's 100% malted barley, water, and yeast, and there's nothing else in this, made in Cooper Select 18-month air-dried barrels, it really has a nose of a bourbon. So if you're a bourbon drinker, you're going to be like, oh, this smells like a bourbon. It's sweet, barley sugars, toffee, vanillas. But when you taste it, because it's 100% malted barley and not corn, bourbon's 51% corn, is a very spicy palate to it. more ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and then it almost smacks you like a scotch on the finish. So what we found is people like scotch love it and people like bourbon love it because it's a true hybrid. And one of our master blenders' main goals, Ian McMillan, who started this project with me, who did Glengarry, Brunnehaven, Blatnock, Deanston, 50 years in the business, was to create a category that was uniquely American. And by that, we didn't want scotch or bourbon. There's enough of both. We want something different, hence American single malt. And it's a brand new category. It's not even yet approved by the TTB. So we're still in, you know, brand new white space, which people don't even really appreciate how new this category is.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that. So you're creating this entirely new category. That was something that I founded a company called Hint Water. And years ago, when we were out there trying to get people to really understand the product, including distributors, they're like, where do you fit? Are you like vitamin water? And I'm like, no, there's no sugar, there's no sweeteners. And what we realized pretty quickly was that we were not only developing a beverage, but also developing a new category, which is extremely hard.
Correct. So when I went to the Magliocco's, who run Empire, like 5 years ago, I was like, hey, I have this crazy idea. I want to create American single malt. They're like, we think you fully lost your mind, but, you know, do it. And if the product's cool, we'll sell it for you. And so, you know, 5 years later, I was just with John Magliocco Sr. who runs. He's like, you know what? This is going to be a real category. Jim Beam's getting into it and Jack Daniels and the big guys. So I think the fact that you're starting to see the major players enter, it's definitely solidifying the fact that American single malt is going to be a category. We're part of the American Single Malt Craft Association, which has been lobbying to make it an official category. But they have not changed the TTB law since like 1890. And this would be the first change to those prohibition laws. So it takes time.
Yeah.
And they've already done one review. My guess is there'll be a final review before it actually goes and gets to be approved law. That being said, it hasn't really stopped people from buying our product. And I think people buy our product because the Maclo name is known as, you know, because of the real estate and the art family that I'm married into. It's a fairly well-known name. And I think they're curious to try the Maclo whiskey. And hopefully, while we do that, then we're able to educate them on the American single malt category, which is still, I'd say, a little fledgling of a category.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what you're touching on too is competition is not such a bad thing. It's, you know, it helps to grow a category and really highlight what you're starting and what you're leading and all of those things. So that's really terrific. So when you decided that you were going to start the Maclo and you had to find a master distiller to bring it to life, how hard was that process?
So this is a great story. So I was hanging in Islay, Scotland, like everyone should. And I was, you know, hanging with Dr. Bill Lumsden and Brendan McCarron. And it was actually Brendan who I said, hey, I have this crazy idea. I want to do like the Ferrari of American single malts, obviously. I was not a blender, although rapidly becoming one. I was like, can you connect me? And he connected me to Ian McMillan, 50 years in the business. As I mentioned, he had never worked on an American project. He loved the idea of this. So luckily for me, he said yes, and that's how we started. And then we really followed a trail of like speaking to all of these distilleries, finding the best partner down in Danville, Kentucky, who ended up creating our product. I will say all things come full circle in that here we are, you know, 5 years later, Ian McMillan's actually retiring, and the next batch that we just bottled this week has actually been done by Brenda McCarron, was at Ardbeg, Glenmorangie, and Distill, and is, you know, world acclaimed. So it's really, for me, been very fortunate that I've gone to really work with some of the most knowledgeable people in this industry who have helped us build this business. And they've been interested in it because it is a new, cool, modern whiskey. They love that it's, you know, female-owned, Kentucky-made. And I've had great guidance counselors. I don't think I could do any of this without all of the people around me have helped us.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you built up a business inside of an industry and then you decided to kind of go lateral, start at the bottom again and start learning. And you were going to, you're a true entrepreneur when I see other entrepreneurs do that, especially switching industries where, you know, you want to go back and learn. What was the most fascinating learning that you learned about this industry that you didn't know when you walked in?
So when I walked in, I don't think I had a full appreciation for how highly regulated it is. So even I now personally have a liquor license. I have a tasting license. I have a, you know, registered marketing permit. Every single state in the USA is like its own country on the laws and what's permitted and what's not permitted. I also, though, really didn't appreciate that's almost what I was doing before. I already went to restaurants. I already knew all the bartenders. I already knew the general managers. I was already asking them about all their whiskeys. So in a weird way, this always this fits very seamlessly into my life because I always loved to drink whiskey and drink alcohol. When I looked at my skincare company, although I do have great skin because people tell me, I never really knew why I had a skincare company, to be quite honest. Like, I was like, oh, I have great skin. But it was never like, why does she have a skincare company? I think even though I was passionate about it, I loved and enjoyed it, I never really knew why I started skincare. Whereas when I look at whiskey, I have so many options. I love drinking whiskey. I love tasting whiskey. Like, oh, that's a natural fit. So I almost think like the skincare company was in a weird way my internship to allow me to do what we're doing now. And so much of it is similar in terms of the sourcing, the packaging. The difference is I didn't know how to blend alcohol. I didn't know how to source alcohol. I had to create alcohol that didn't exist. It wasn't like, I think at first I thought, oh, I'm just going to go buy barrels from MGP and slap my label on it. Well, guess what? American single malt didn't exist. Even today, if I tried to buy it on the market, it's almost impossible. So when you create a new category, you're also learning how to make the product, where to distill it, how you get the highest quality, which was super important to us. We want to have locally sourced grain. We want to have all these requirements. So it took a real iteration. You know, originally I'm like, oh, do I make in New York? And then you realize, oh, well, all the knowledge is in Kentucky, and that's where they make the casks, and that's where, you know, they make bourbon for a reason, and that's where the water is so pure. So eventually through that journey, we ended up making it in Kentucky. That's where they knew how to make a custom yeast. And it was definitely, I'd say, almost a year and a half of back work before we even laid down our own liquid in 2019. And I don't think people appreciate then as they age over 4 years. So we just got on this on market 2023, I started conceptualizing this in 2018, right? So
it's a long journey. Patience, for sure.
Not patience. And patience is not my virtue.
That's awesome. I remember going to Louisville and staying in a hotel there. And I said, so what can I do here? And they said, you should go on the whiskey trail. And I got on a bus and I went around on the whiskey trail and it was so much fun. And I've told so many people about that. Yeah, it was great. People are like, the whiskey trail? And I said, no, it was a blast to see it. Definitely.
That's a fun little journey.
Fun little journey for sure. So what do you think is bringing so many women into consuming whiskey? I thought it was really fascinating that that's really changed. Whiskey used to be a drink for men. And now more and more women are coming in. And given that you're sort of leading the category right now that you're creating, you're in some ways responsible for bringing, in a good way, bringing in more women in to enjoy this. How do you build like a loyal community around it and build brand around that works?
So I think one, I always drank whiskey while I was in finance as a way to fit in with the boys club. And I think drinking whiskey is a power drink. I think naturally more women these days want to be in the power place and We want to be in power positions, just like men. And our goal is to include the women in the conversation. Part of that was done in the package design, which is also based on a ring that I have from Hemmerly, in addition to the idea of the flask. And part of it is actually just simplifying the conversation, because I think sometimes people get very intimidated by whiskey and, oh, I've got to know every single tasting note. It's like, well, no, you don't really need to know every tasting note. You can drink it and like it, and you can put in a Gold Fashioned or a Macklow Manhattan. And the idea of whiskey is to enjoy it and create memories and connect with people. And I think women are becoming less intimidated because they realize, you know what? Whiskey is a great drink. I always say it's the best drink ever. Keeps you thin. Look at me. It's a diuretic naturally. And there's nothing in it. It's just, you know, wood, water, yeast, and malted barley. So it's super pure because you distill it twice. It's by nature gluten free. And, you know, I think the taste profile of a whiskey, it's every barrel's different. It's such an unusual drink, right? I can have a barrel of my exact same distillate up high and down low, and they taste totally different because of where they're in the warehouse versus like a gin or a vodka where there is no exploration. And I think, you know, women are very curious. And once they realize you can try different things and each one has a different taste profile, and the reality is women have better noses. That's just the fact. So I think all of those things are appealing to a female drinker as they start to drink it. It just needed to be, I think, a little bit more simplified so that it, you know, appealed as a drink that also was like for women, not just men. And that was our goal. And my goal wasn't just to cater to women, just to be clear. It's to cater to women and men and to have a drink that's inclusive of everyone. And I think when you look at a lot of the brands, what they've done by mistake, in my opinion, is they're just saying, oh, I'm just going for women. And they do it in a very like gimmicky way that's not authentic. And I view myself as like just a drinker. I just like drink whiskey. And I just want to drink a whiskey that appeals to me. But, you know, my husband drinks my whiskey too and appeals to him. And I think this idea of that you can have a great product that includes everyone was what we were going for.
There's this trend of speakeasies all over the place. In fact, you and I were just talking about Arizona, that we both spent some time there growing up. And that's become the big thing in Phoenix and Scottsdale, all these little speakeasies. And the Macklow, I think, is the perfect drink that I would see in some of those. Who is this customer outside of the fact that they're very particular? You talked about, you know, Hermé of the single malt and the whiskey business, the spirits business overall. But do you think that consumer is getting younger? I mean, do you feel like there's more of the, you know, millennials that are coming in?
So I think our core customer is probably 30 to 60 because of our price point. It skews a little bit older, right? I do think millennials are drinking more whiskey. I think specifically our brand, since the shots of our gold bottle are $40 to $55 up to $60, and our single cask goes for $100 for one shot, $200 for two shots, the ball is $1,500. Inherently, that's going to price out, you know, most customers that are 30 below. I think we're appealing more to a working professional, a connoisseur, a collector, somebody who has somewhat of an education on whiskey, or somebody who wants to try it because the bartender's recommended, hey, you know, I'm seeing you're drinking a Macklow a Manhattan, make a Macklow Manhattan. I also do think there's a trend because people are all on Ozempic these days that people are drinking less and they want to drink better. And so instead of drinking three drinks, you're like, hey, I'm going to drink one drink. So they're not afraid to buy a $45 or $50 shot of whiskey because that's what they're drinking for the night. And I think we have benefited from that because the reality is no one was doing rounds and rounds of Macklow shots. That's not what it was intended for. It was intended to be, you know, a sipping drink and a drink to enjoy, which I think a good whiskey is how you most people would drink it neat or put in a cube or a couple drops of water to open it. You know, not throwing back it like a tequila or gin. So I think what we've benefited from is that drink better trend. Mm-hmm. I think people are like, you know what? I'm going to probably have one or two drinks tonight. I'm happy to get something better. And I think that's a trade up we've seen. And, you know, even on, I'm just had on this, even on our gold bottle, this is only 10 casks together. Like our edition we just did, only 2,500 bottles, right?
Wow.
So it's super small batch still and super limited. Think about each state gets a couple hundred bottles, right? And they go mostly to restaurants. So really the Maclo.com, our website, is one of the few places outside a couple of the best retailers that you're going to find it.
Do you feel like there's a certain part of the country? I know you talked about you're in, you know, all the major cities with your distribution and that's expanding. But do you see that there's a certain part of the country where single malt really seems to be growing the quickest?
So I think there's places that are always single malt drinkers. And I think there's places that are more seasonal drinkers. Mm-hmm. For instance, a place like Arizona, where it's super hot, but it's Arizona, I think they switch more to tequila in summer. Mm-hmm. A place like Vegas, where people are always inside gambling, I think they always drink whiskey still. Texas, they always drink whiskey still. Miami, it shifts in summer to more of a tequila rosé market, just like the Hamptons does. New York City, more in winter. So I think what I found is certain places are more seasonal, and certain places are just like they drink whiskey all the time. They're sort of like me. I'll have a whiskey in 110 degrees. It doesn't really matter. There's no other option for me. But I think culturally, I found different states have different ways they drink it. Like some places drink it more in the cold seasons, and then they'll switch to rosé, tequila in the warmer seasons. But I think that is changing as it becomes a more popular drink. People are realizing, oh, I can have it year round. I can do a whiskey sour. Or I can do, you know, a Beauvoir or a different drink, right? So I think that's changing. It's, but I would say it's based on where you are.
So looking ahead, what are you most excited about for the Maclo brand? This is your last question. So I'd love to hear when you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about this brand that you've started and built, and you've been very patient and you've made just a lot of really, really terrific moves to build this. But what are you most excited about?
So we're about to launch, you're the first to see it, our little mini Maclos, our 200 mls, which are actually look like the little flasks.
Awesome.
Which I'm super excited about. Those will come into our market. And then down the road later this year, we're going to have a platinum bottle, which will be our rye that's finished in our malt casks. And then we'll have next year bourbon. So when I look down, it's always about, you know, again, new creation, iterations from our existing SKUs, but not too far away. I'd also say just getting into more consumers' hands. We haven't been in a lot of retail accounts just because we always want to keep our great on-premise accounts, whether it's John George or Maria or Danielle. Always in stock, so major food group, et cetera. So the idea that as we gradually are able to increase our production to have more product into the off-premise so that you can buy it at retail is also very exciting to us. And that's something, you know, that we're targeting for the end of this year.
So Julie Maclo, founder and CEO of the Maclo, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing everything about this incredible brand. We're very excited for not only the existing, but also for all of the new things that you're doing too. And so much to learn from you. Definitely. You should be very proud of both companies that you've built. And it's really awesome.
Thank you. Well, I'm so appreciative of you coming, having me on. I would love to have you go visit our website, themaclo.com. Check it out. All of our new products. We're about to also launch our 12-year product next week. So for anyone who wants to go on there and register, you'll get that when we put it out. I think there's only 200 bottles. So thanks again for having me.
Awesome.
And we're really appreciative of this time.
Awesome. We'll have all the info in the show notes too. But thank you again. And thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.